Both our mind, develop the sadha, the faith, the virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bổn Sư释迦Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư释迦Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư释迦Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Quan Sư Hình Phú Sa. Namo Quan Sư Hình Phú Sa.南无观世音菩萨，南无阿弥陀佛，南无阿弥陀佛，南无阿弥陀佛，南无弥勒佛，南无弥勒佛，南无弥勒佛，南无普贤菩萨，南无普贤菩萨，南无普贤菩萨，南无佛菩萨，南无佛菩萨。南无佛菩萨，阿拉汉萨玛萨布多巴嘎瓦，布当巴嘎万当阿比瓦帝咪。苏瓦卡多巴嘎瓦达达摩。Dhammang Namassami Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then we will commence the former chanting. Turn to page 1. We shall start with the salutation to the Buddha. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa.Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami.Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami,Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami.Kamesu Michachara Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Musawada Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Surameraya Majapamadatana Veramani Sikkhapadang SamadhiyamiOkay, before we commence the puja chanting for offering, we will rejoice one more time with the subsequent offering by May and Pimi and together with Joyce. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Now we will chant the Patipa puja offering of light.Ganna sarapa dithena dithena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang Pujayami tamonudang Ganda sambarayutena Dupenahang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyantang Puja bhajana muthamang Vanna ganda gunopetang Etang kusuma samtati Pujayami dasa Siri pada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kusumenanena Punnena matena cha hotu mokhang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tatayati vinasabhavang Adivasetu no bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patiganhatu mutamang Adivasetu no bante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patiganhatu mutamang Adivasetu no bante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patiganhatu mutamang Now we shall chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on with sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of aspiration. By the power of these merits, born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect. Triple Gem. Vedang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you can be seated. Today, we should have more time to meditate. We should have at least half an hour. Yeah, exactly half an hour. Okay, we are off the light. Then we will commence the meditation. Yeah. Okay. For those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away go into the meditation. Just relax body and mind and silent. Always remember the four support. First support is relax into every mind state that arises. Relax the whole of body and mind. Then after that, maintain silent inner awareness. So the second support is just aware. After you relax, you maintain awareness, means don't think, just relax and be with the moment in silent awareness. Whatever arise, just let it pass. Don't try to know, don't try to hold on to it. Just develop the silent awareness to be aware of whatever that arise and pass away. Thought will come, mental activity will come, sense door activity will come. Let them arise and pass away. When you are silent, you can observe their characteristic, their nature, and you can understand many, many things. That's why when you already know how to meditate, you just relax and silent. Means you already have your spiritual faculty developed, especially sati. You already trained. So the mind can be silent, to be with the moment in silent awareness. If you still need the object of meditation to hold the awareness, then stay on with the object of meditation. If you already very stable, you don't need any support or object of meditation to help you to be mindful, then you just relax and silent. The mind will be peaceful wherever you allow it to be. So it can rest anywhere within your kaya. It can be at your breathing or at your heart area. Just relax, silent, and just aware. You can detect whatever vibration within your chest area. Stay there. Or you can detect your heartbeat also same. Just stay there. Then you will understand many, many things. Initially, all this vibration will be like very gross. But just be aware. Don't do anything. Relax and be with the moment in silent awareness. Then you will understand. The third support is maintain this cultivation for as long as you can. That's why we call it 24-hour meditation. Then the last one is when you are silent, relaxed, and just aware. You don't do anything. There is no thought. Means the nature will do by itself. Means you trust your nature to meditate. So there is no thought involved. There is no movement of thought. And this is the real meditation. Then through that silence, it can detect the gateway. Then your mind can just settle down and be with the moment in silent awareness. And this is the silent mind, the meditative mind, or what they call pasati, tranquility of mind or stillness of mind. The mind that is in sati, when it stabilizes, it becomes pasati. So this is how you train your mind and develop the meditation. For those who are still new, you can develop the skillful means to help decondition the heedless thinking. Then combine with loving kindness or metta to develop the inner peace leading to inner well-being. Then after that, stabilize the inner peace and inner well-being through an object of meditation or a skillful means. For those who are already skillful, no need to train, then you don't need to do all these things. You can straight away relax, silent, and meditate. Okay, I will ring the bell after about 20 plus minutes. Then after that, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, or inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the trained mind state that you need for you to meditate in your daily life. So the form of meditation is initially to train this mind so that the mind is in sati or impasati, which is the meditative state. Then maintain this state so that you can use it to live life, to cultivate the daily mindfulness, to bring about insight into phenomena, to realize the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self or empty nature. Then this sati or silent mind can also allow you to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness as taught by the Buddha, starting with kaya nupassana, leading to vedana, then citta, then dhamma nupassana. Okay, now I will stop the sharing, allow you to meditate. I will ring the bell later. those still wants to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then turn to page 6. We shall do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas in this universe, in their entirety. Let the devas and deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and relays Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Okay, we can chant together. Samantha Chakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijacharana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusana buddho bhagava Suakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko Ehipasiko opanaiko Pachatang veditabu vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato savakasango Ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasango Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasango Samichipatipanno bhagavato savakasango Yadidang chattari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato sakasango Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakineyo anjali karaneyo Anuttarang punyaketang lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect mindfully to Triple Gemma. Padang Pujemi Damang pujemi Sanghang pujemi Okay You can be seated Just relax yourself body and mind and maintain some form of attentiveness, then we will continue with our Vajra Prajna Paramita Sutta, Sutta on the Diamond Sutta. We are at page 104. Turn to page 104. Before we commence, turn to page 1. We will recite the verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, now turn to page 104. Okay, we start from above. Subhati eloquently spoke Prajna, and the Brahma Heaven King listened well to Prajna, until finally Subhati asked him, "What have I said?" To which the Brahma God replied, "The Venerable One has not spoken." "Well, what have you heard?" pursued Subhati. "I also did not hear a thing," came the reply. "That is true, Prajna," confirmed Subhati. "When nothing is spoken and nothing is heard, that is called true Prajna. So the Prajna Paramita spoken by the Buddha is not Prajna Paramita, but is merely called Prajna Paramita. So it is a false name and nothing more." So this is just to let you understand the truth is beyond words, beyond everything. So whatever that is spoken is not the truth. That's why to those who are already awakened, their understanding is different. You remember the Zen story? When the disciple came hurriedly and told the master, "Master, Master, I awakened already." Then the master said, "Very good, very good. What is that?" He pointed to the table. The disciple replied, "Table, you whack the floor." He said, "Still got table, you say you awaken." That's why from that Surangama Sutta verse you will know. Perception of form is what? Perception of form is what? Consciousness from the thought, from the mind, the five aggregate. Whereas this non-perception is wisdom. That's why wisdom got no word, got nothing. You have means you have. It's the nature that awakens. It's not a knowledge, it's not something stored somewhere. It's just an understanding through that realization. When you awaken to the universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state and non-self, you will awaken to the whole of the phenomenal world and realize that they are all empty. Because they are empty, that's why they are impermanent. And because they are impermanent, that's why it leads to suffering. So, through the penetrative understanding of impermanence, condition arising, cause of phenomenal, dependent originating, because within the condition world is like that. That's why the stanza, the four stanza in the Diamond Sutta is very beautiful. Yichie yu wei fa, zu mong huan pao ying. Zu lu yi ru tian, ying zuo ru si, ying zuo ru si guan. So, the meaning is very deep. Everything within the conditioned world is the conditioned Dhamma, conditioned rising Dhamma, yu wei fa. then they are like dreams, illusion, shadow. And what they call bubble, yeah, bubble, pawing. Then after that, it's like a flash of lightning. You have to contemplate thus. Then you will awaken. That's why when you have this silent mind, the mindfulness in your daily life, and when you meditate in the form of meditation, when you're completely silent, you will realize the empty nature. You will realize that true understanding. You will awaken to the universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering, and empty nature or non-self. And through that, everything is understood. The mundane mind realizes itself and ceases. Then it realizes the unconditioned, which is the supreme Nibbana. So awakening is the unconditioned, beyond word, beyond concept. That's why in that previous analogy, Subhati also understood when nothing is spoken and nothing is heard, that is called true prajna. But don't try to use your thought to develop the concept and the ideology, then try to act this way. It's not going to work. Because that one is the thought trying to be in that state of enlightenment. So you read the word for what it means. When nothing is spoken and nothing is heard. So when people ask you, what is this? Nothing. You think you awaken already. Not like that. When you really, really have that direct seeing, really nothing. Nothing means nothing. Okay, now we go on. We continue to the next one. Subhati, what do you think? Can the Tathagata be seen by means of the 32 marks? Means the 32 hallmarks. No, well honored one. One cannot see the Tathagata by means of the 32 marks. And why? The 32 marks are spoken of by the Tathagata as no 32 marks. Therefore, they are called 32 marks. So, as usual, if you use concept, you use words, you cannot understand. But to communicate, we need words, we need concept, we need thought. That's why it has to be in that form, in the conditioned world. But those who have penetrated the real prajna, they will understand that these are all not the thing, not real. Then we go on. Subhati, a good man or a good woman might give up his life as many times as there were grains of sand in the Ganges River. But if a person were to receive and hold even so few as 4 lines of verse of the sutta, means this Diamond Sutta, and explain them for others, his blessing would have been greater. So this one you understand, He said, let's say a good man, means cultivator, virtuous, have good nature. Or a good woman might give up their life for as many as the grains of sand in the Ganges, means they have sacrificed themselves for some great purpose or worthy purpose. For as many lives as the sand on the Ganges, you know how much is that or not? It's really, really uncountable. It's a lot. Even that amount of merits can never even match someone who had understood the 4 stanzas within the Diamond Sutta and share it with others or explain them for others. That particular being his blessing and merits would have been far, far greater than all those sacrifices. So all this point towards the very unique nature of this Diamond Sutta. When you understand and cultivate according to this Diamond Sutta, then you will progress very, very fast, extraordinarily fast. Means your cultivation is very, very different from those who use their thought, who goes through the normal thought-based type of cultivation. Means those who cultivate with mark of a self-cultivating. That's why Theravada, they have this problem which they didn't realize. Actually, what Mahayana is trying to tell them is Theravada always complain that to become Sammasambuddha take too long. True or not? So what do? They decide to renounce all those vows because they were told it's a hindrance. So they want to realize self-enlightenment in the here and the now first. Not knowing that self-enlightenment is the one that binds them. But that is the mark. If you cannot penetrate that mark, you will be trapped within that that convention of that mark of a self, striving very hard for enlightenment, for awakening. Because finally, when the realization comes, there is no mark. So when you don't have this understanding, the delusion was set in. Then they determine to strive on for self-enlightenment. There is nobody to be enlightened, the Buddha already said. Anatta, he know you, he know me. But this form of mind is not you, understand or not? It's karmically conditioned out for you to use as a vehicle and a tool to develop the cultivation, the understanding. Then this form of mind, when it realizes itself, it ceases to be. That's how you realize the enlightenment. Everything ceases. That's why Nibbana is cessation of form and mind. Nibbana is not somebody enlightened. No, there is nobody. But you can say that form and mind is enlightened. Yes. But that form and mind is not you, understand? Because when it awakens, the nature awakens, the wisdom is connected to the form and mind. So this form and mind is no longer deluded. That's why it cannot be deceived. Then it cannot go through suffering anymore. Then you can say that form and mind is enlightened, but that form and mind is conditioned arising, karmically conditioned out. That segment of your nature's coming, and it's not you. That's why there is no one inside there. And if you have a mark that is you and you are enlightened, that's why in the Diamond Sutta is mentioned, even the Sotapan, they cannot even have a thought that they are enlightened, that they are a Sotapan. There is no such thing. Even Sotapan understand. What more about the rest? So this teaching is very, very powerful, very unique. So when you can cultivate until that level of understanding, then your cultivation from that understanding onward, the field of merit is immeasurable. That's why we were connected to the Bodhisattva vow. That's how the Sammasambuddhahood can be realized very fast. But if you don't cultivate with this understanding of no mark, no mark of a self, no mark of living being, and no mark of Dhamma, you can never, never penetrate. You can never realize the perfection of Sammasambuddhahood. To truly awaken and realize the ultimate, unsurpassed, supreme enlightenment of Sammasambuddhahood, you need to have this understanding and this type of cultivation. Otherwise, there is no way. So that's the reason why I used to tell you all during the early days. This Diamond Sutta actually doesn't teach you any Dhamma. He just explained to you that you have to cultivate this way to realize the understanding of the Diamond Sutta. Then your cultivation will be very different. Then you will penetrate very, very far and very fast. Your cultivation becomes totally different. Your progression is exponential, way, way beyond the ordinary cultivation. Okay? Yeah. Then we go on. After I will share with you all on the Bodhisattva vow. Yeah, this Bodhisattva vow need to be constantly recharge or refresh. That's why last time I told you all, keep that copy. You make sure you still have that copy. It is very important. Every 3 months or what, take it out, read through it again and determine and make the affirmation. And when you can do it until it becomes a part of you, your progress will be very, very different. Your nature will transform and become very different. After I go through it, remind me when another 40 minutes from now, 10 o'clock, I will start. Oh, that one is past 5 minutes. Okay, at 10 o'clock, remind me to share with you, to refresh you all on the Bodhisattva vow that I shared with you all last time. Okay, now we go through the commentary by Xuanhua. The Buddha asked, when you see the 32 hallmark, do you see the Tathagata's Dhamma body? Subhati replied that one cannot see the Tathagata's Dhamma body by means of the 32 mark. So now this one is very easy to comprehend, isn't it? The 32 mark is just the mark that symbolizes the characteristic of the Buddha's past cultivation and perfection. And the hallmark is not the Buddha. What is the Buddha? What is the Buddha? The Buddha is not this rupang or this image. When you recall to mind, the Buddha means what? Because this rupang, the form, external form, is not the real Buddha. This is the image, the rupang. But it allows you to recall to mind the real quality of the Buddha. What is it? The embodiment of his wisdom and virtue, his perfection. That is the Buddha. That's why the Buddha is the embodiment of his virtue and wisdom. That's why they call it the Dhamma body. So how can the 32 hallmark be the Buddha? That's why the Buddha say, he who sees my Dhamma sees me. Means when you have realized that Dhamma that he teach, the truth, and awaken, then you have the wisdom and the virtue as perfected by him. That's why you can see him. Because the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha, the three, the triple gem, they are all connected. Connected. Without the Dhamma, there is no Sangha. Without the Sangha, there is no Sammasambuddha. So from this, the three, they are actually together as one. The Dhamma was there even before the Sammasambuddha. But the moment the Sammasambuddha arises, then he re-proclaimed the Dhamma. That's how from there it spread. Then it created the Sangha. Then this Sangha, within the Sangha, over a long period of time, there will be Buddhas again. Then the whole cycle repeats itself. That's why you have what we are having now, our present civilization, where through Sakyamuni Buddha, and before him was Kassapa Buddha, then there was another Buddha before him. Then there is supposed to be one more, Maitreya, in the future. So all this, when you understand, you will not be deluded by what people tell you, gullibly believing that the image, the form, the 32 hallmarks, that is what the Buddha is. No. Okay, we read on. The 32 marks are spoken of by the Tathagata as no mark. No 32 mark. Therefore, they are called 32 marks. The 32 marks of which Sakyamuni Buddha spoke of are marks of the respond body, means the functional body, not the mark of the Dhamma body. The respond body is the transformation body. The 32 marks of the transformation body are impermanent, and so they eventually change and become extinct. The Buddha's Dhamma body is neither produced nor destroyed, neither defiled nor pure, neither increased nor decreased. Therefore, Subhati said the 32 marks spoken of by the Tathagata are no 32 marks. They are not the actual true marks of the Buddha. Only from the point of view of false naming are there 32 marks. So this is for the conventional people, for the conditioned world. So they need to use words, concept, idea. Then we go on. Sakyamuni Buddha then spoke of a man or a woman who cultivate the 5 precepts and the 10 good acts or meritorious action, which gives their body and which gives his body and life as many times as the grain of sand in the Ganges River. When Sakyamuni Buddha was cultivating the way, he gave up his body to a tiger and cut off his flesh for an eagle. So these were the Jataka story. There was one incident where the tigress were wounded. Then he got 4 cup, the baby cup, tiger. So because the mother was wounded, he couldn't hunt. He couldn't get food for the other 4 cup. So at that time, Sakyamuni Buddha was a bodhisattva. You know what he did or not? He jumped down and sacrificed his body for the tigress to eat and the food for the cup. Then later on, the tigress recovered, then looked after the cup. And there was another incident. He cut off his flesh for an eagle. That one I haven't heard of, that Jataka story. Anybody heard of that? The eagle one. Anybody? Nobody? Never mind. Once when cultivating in a mountain in a former life, Sakyamuni Buddha saw a mother tiger. The story is here. And her cub in the snow. Because of heavy snow, the other animal had hidden away. And the tiger could find no prey to supply herself with food and drink. Both she and her cub were about to die of starvation. The cultivator realized that if the one starve, two would die, and he made a vow to give his body to the tiger to eat. Think of that. A tiger is a vicious animal or beast. Who would want to sacrifice his own body to such an animal? However, Sakyamuni Buddha lay down before the tiger and allowed himself to be eaten. Another time was when Sakyamuni Buddha was cultivating the way on the coarser ground. One day a little bird ran into his heart, terrorized by a huge eagle, which was pursuing it. Save me, cried the little bird. That eagle want to eat me. How can I save you? Asked Sakyamuni Buddha. If you save me, Sorry, if you save him, I will starve to death, shrieked the eagle. If you give one life and kill another, that is no compassion. So this was what happened. If you save one life and kill another, that is no compassion. Then when Sakyamuni Buddha heard the eagle's plea, he cut off a piece of his own flesh and gave it to the great bird to eat. The eagle down it in no time and came back for more. He ate yet another piece and still was not full. He continued to come back for more. Until finally the Buddha said, "All right, you may have my entire flesh body." The bird then picked his bone clean. Formerly, Sakyamuni Buddha went to extreme of giving in his search for the Buddha way, means to realize Buddhahood, to perfect the perfection of Dana Parami. He has to go through all this. But in the present time, if people give even a little money, their heart ache, their liver hurt, and the whole body is racked with pain. So he's trying to talk about the miser, kiam siap one, the people who are very stingy. I gave $200 and I could not sleep for 3 nights straight, they moan. It took me a whole week to earn that much, and it will be another week before I see another 200. They keep very accurate bookkeeping. Can we keep sloppy books then? You may ask. No, you should not keep sloppy books either. Sakyamuni Buddha did not keep track of such deed. When he was on the coarser ground, and as a result, he realized Buddhahood. So when you cultivate, you will come to have the understanding that this one is not real, it's not you. That's why it's called the coarser ground, means condition arising, condition world, due to cause and condition. That's why it's called the coarser ground. Okay, we go on. The very reason you have not realized Buddhahood is that you are interested in keeping your book too clearly. Means very, very selfish. Everything, every dollar, every cent you count. When Sakyamuni Buddha was on the coarser ground, he gave up 1,000 bodies to rescue and take living beings across. See, Bodhisattva do the opposite way. To speak more explicitly, every mode of dust in the 3,000 great thousand world is a place where all Buddhas of the 10 directions have given up their bodies and lives. You should resolve your mind on the great vehicle. If you do not give up your body and life, at least get rid of all the things outside the body, all your wealth and household, quickly be done with them. That is also considered giving up one's body and life. So Dana Parami, like that day I share at the Klang talk, there are 3 levels of Dana Parami. First one is what? What type of giving? Give of materialistic wealth, money, property and all those things, materialistic possession. Then the second one is give of life. Yes, give of life. You help people, help save them, save their life. Like you donate blood, donate organ. Then like the Buddha sacrificed his own body for the tiger or for the eagle and all those things. So the gift of life is the second Ah, yes. But there is another one, the third. Gift of truth. That is the highest gift. The gift of truth is actually very difficult. But in our conditioned world, when you have the parami, it's easier. Sometimes a lot of cultivators, they didn't understand that third one. They thought they must become enlightened, have the Dhamma, then only can share the Dhamma. Then only can have this parami of gift of truth. Not necessary. It can be developed in an indirect way. In the direct means, you create condition for people to receive truth. You share information about good teacher or good Dhamma master or guide who can actually guide living beings, proclaim the Dhamma so that living beings can awaken. Then sometimes you can also get involved with all those like transcript or production of the Dhamma books spoken by all these beings that has the Dhamma. So when you help in the propagation of all those reading material, or the recording or the CD and all those things nowadays you have all this, or even pen drive or what, then this is also a type of giving, give or throw. Then when you donate towards this cause, this is also creating parami for the give or throw. Then when you make aspiration for causes and conditions, for you, for your nature, to constantly have the condition to partake in this parami, the third level of dana, the gift of truth, it will be fulfilled. That's why all these are the various ways you can develop this parami. So this three level of giving is very important. So we go on. You should resolve your mind on the great vehicle. If you do not give up your whole body and life, at least get rid of all the things outside the body. So this one is referring to whatever that you believe you own. Your property, your wealth, your materialistic belonging. All your wealth and household, quickly be done with them. That is also considered giving up one's body and life. Means materialistic giving and the gift of life. Then the blessing and virtue of a person who accepts, maintains and speaks for others, even as few as four lines of verse from the stanza, from the sutta, Diamond Sutta, are far greater than the blessing of someone who gives up his body and life as many times as there are grains of sand in the river Ganges. After you have heard the Vajra Sutta, you should quickly lecture it yourself and obtain more blessing and virtue. The merits and virtue from such giving is far greater than that from giving any amount of wealth or materialistic giving. So this is Chen Hua's advice to you. When you have the opportunity to cultivate this type of understanding, then when you have some form of understanding, you should start at least. Here Chen Hua says you should quickly at least lecture it to yourself. You know what is lecturing it to yourself or not? Use the second turning. Reflect, contemplate, and recite it out loudly. So that you yourself understand. So develop the understanding. Then after that, when you are ready, it set the base for you to receive truth. Then any of the three turning, first, second, or third turning, can awaken you. So this one is very useful. So when you do that, actually, it's also a form of sharing with your own form and mind. Then later on, when you are more sure, more stable in the understanding, you can share with living being, or you can make aspiration to cultivate this understanding, so that in future you can also deliver the sutta and share with living being. Okay, we finish. So chapter 13 finish. So we stop here. Any question? Anybody got any question? We can discuss it. We still got 20 minutes. You got any question? Everybody, as usual, so quiet. Don't be shy. Whatever you want to understand. Yes, pass to Jin Hao the mic.
Brazil.
Yes.
I always heard about those story like before Buddha becomes Buddha, they sacrifice themselves.
Yes.
Their life to the animals, like, you know, tiger, all this. So would the tiger when the tiger eat bodhisattva, would they commit any sort of like karma or anything?
What do you think? What do you all think? It's a good topic to discuss, because some of your area, like a lot of cultivator, they got this type of thinking on. What do you all think? Pass the mic to N. And answer something. We must discuss all this so that you put your thought to it. Then you can understand better. If you don't try, you always listen to answer, you never learn, because you don't want to investigate. Like meditation. You ask, relative? Correct? So how? After that, what to do? You will never learn or understand. You can ask. You ask, then you listen attentively. Then you develop the understanding after I explain. Then that is investigation. Then after you understand, you don't need to ask me, Brother Teo, right or wrong. After that, how? Should I do this or do that? This is not the way to cultivate understanding. The way to cultivate is, the moment you understand, the answer is there. All your questions will be self-answered when you seriously investigate into the Dhamma. You will understand. Okay, we let end. Answer. Yes.
Let's try.
Good.
I think there's not intention.
Yeah, very good. Yeah.
So I don't think he have invoked any karmic.
Yeah, there is no karmic, because the Buddha sacrifice, understand? When you sacrifice, what happened? You willingly gave, because you understand this no reality. Then the tiger got no intention to kill you, understand? Out of hunger, survival instinct, understand? There is no anger, no hatred. It's just like when you are very hungry, all of a sudden people put a plate of food for you. What will you do? You just eat, understand? Then you thank whoever who gave it to you, understand? So you have to understand that the bodhisattva has got no delusion. That's why it can just sacrifice like that. There is no such thing as, how can we do it? I remember last time, Yun Chan used to say, she at first has doubt about this story of the bodhisattva sacrificing herself. See, how can you like that? Sang ngao ngao like that, jump down. Just sacrifice like that. Nobody can do that. Yes. But if you have the understanding of the bodhisattva at that time, you can. Because you know this is not real. Not real. Not what you think. That's why when you go through life, you will experience a lot of things that is out of the ordinary.
Because normal living being who have the selfishness, the atta, they can never do, they can never understand. There are a lot of things. Ah, yeah, Pastor Feiling. Feiling got something.
I'm just wondering whether there's any so-called karmic conditions between the tiger and the Buddha.
This is very good. You see, there is definitely karmic conditioning. Like the Buddha said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. Understand? This is an existential condition arising. So there is some causes and conditions from the past for those encounter, for those conditions to manifest. So if this tigress, let's say, has not done something good before that allow the condition for such parami to arise, there will be no condition for the bodhisattva to be there to sacrifice. The other condition is because the bodhisattva also have that cultivation, he wanted to perfect that dana parami, and he needs such condition for him to have the condition to do it. You understand? Like the king of Kaliga, Kodanyawan. Because these are the condition behind. So both the condition fall into place. The bodhisattva got to do what he wanted to do. Means that ultimate giving, the gift of life, to save another life. Can you do it? It seems the test was even more severe. There was one life. He was tested. You know, tested to give away one. You will never believe. Very good, Susan. His wife and children. And you know who was the one that actually tested him? King Saka. The condition was such that he need to be tested. So King Saka transformed into something. Then after that, give him the choice, ultimatum. You have to sacrifice your wife and your children. And he was able to do that because of his understanding and his perfection. It's not because he doesn't love the children and the wife, but he understands these are conditions arising from a mind, no reality. If it can bring about wholesomeness, goodness, peacefulness, and all those things, he is willing to sacrifice. So because of that, this perfection of dana parami is not a very straightforward type of cultivation. It needs a lot of very unique and special conditions for it to be tested. That's why you see how Sakyamuni Buddha actually went through the perfection. The last test was the king of Kalinga tear the horses, split his two arms and two legs. Then through the power of truth, they came back to him. And that was his final perfection. All the other tests were nothing. Then together with that is the what they call Kanti, cultivation of patience. Kanti. That's like the king of Kalinga. That was the test. So all this, you will start to understand. That's why I want you to share this discussion. Yeah, it's very good. It brings about your investigative understanding. Like what Huiling actually come up with was very good. There must be causes and conditions behind karmic affinity. That's why you have to take care of karma. Otherwise, things won't happen, I tell you. Able to be here to partake in this Dhamma sharing is not by chance. It's from your past. You have cultivated before. You have this parami before. But because you cannot recall, you don't understand how deep this type of law of karma is. And because of that, you all fail to develop that what they call deep understanding within. For those cultivators who have this understanding, I tell you, their heart is very different. When they have this understanding, when they come, they will know all this. But from the sign, they will understand. Then deep within, their heart will cry out with joy with regards to what they have done in the past, cultivated in the past. How much of this sacrifice, how much of this understanding has been developed so that this condition is here to arise. Then through that deep understanding, they will vow with very strong faith, sadha and virya, then they will determine very, very strongly again to continue this path and this cultivation. So that life after life, this understanding will continue to pervade. Yeah. Do not think that all this happened by chance, no. Even you follow the wrong teacher, learn the wrong teaching and get into trouble, it's also not accident. It's all because of your past karmic conditioning. Because you promote the wrong teaching. You promote the wrong teacher and all those things. And you cause people to get lost in the process. And because of that, you are like the blind leading the blind. So ending up in all this, what they call wrong path. And because of that, the karmic consequence, when they come back as friction, you will also fall into the condition that will lead you to those teaching, those type of teacher. It's just like those who commit evil. Like in the past, if you are born as a medium or fortune teller, or even all those so-called profession that are not honest, where you deceive people, cheat people, feng shui and all those things, then future life, when you come, when there is condition, you will become the victim. You will fall for all this. You will somehow, condition will arise and you will get yourself entangled. Then you will lose all the money, because last time when you cheat and deceive people, you are the one that is doing it. Now you become the victim. Even snatch deep, everything is the same. There are causes and conditions behind. If you have not done this, there is no condition. You will not have to experience all those things. But if there are such karmic from the past, that's why I say you can never know what you have done through the distant past because of the aeons and aeons of birth and death. So chances are, before you have the Dhamma, before you have the understanding, there could be possibility of all this. That's why you must learn how to develop the understanding to overcome all this karmic obstruction. That's why you must cultivate repentance, ask for forgiveness, determine not to repeat all this. Then sincerely ask for forgiveness, then determine from now onward to repent and follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good. Then purify the mind, develop the wisdom and the understanding so that the nature will not fall again. So that in future, you will not have to bear the consequence of your evil action. So that your karmic nature is constantly being purified. Then like the Buddha said, you have a lot of wholesomeness. It's like you have a lot of Dhamma water. Then if there are some past evil deeds which are like salt, the balance of it a little bit here and there, but because you have so much pure Dhamma water, that water is still drinkable, still has its flavor. But if you commit a lot of evil and hardly do any wholesomeness, then the whole of the content is full of that salt, then you constantly have to face the friction of all those karmic negativity. And that's what suffering is all about. That's why living beings who don't understand this Dhamma, who don't take care of their karma, who become heedless, they will fall. And when they fall, they will go through a lot of suffering. They will have to confront all these evil states, the fruition of their evil action. All this become their inheritance. That's why the Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, condition is supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So if you don't take care of karma, you will have a lot of problems. Yeah. So this understanding, this fundamental right view with regards to the law of karma is the most important. The most important. Yeah. So when you understand this law of karma, you will vow never to be heedless again, to constantly take care of karma. We are following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind. And this one you have to develop the understanding of it until it's very, very stable within your mind state. Okay, 10 o'clock, maybe now I go to the Bodhisattva vow to refresh you. Eh? You listen carefully. This is very important. If you have the notes, you can take it out. Eh? Otherwise, you listen. Eh? Bodhisattva vow. The Bodhisattva vow is a vow taken by Mahayana Buddhists to attain complete enlightenment for the sake of all living beings or sentient beings. One who has taken the vow is nominally known as a bodhisattva, whereas the Patimokkha vows cease at death, means the monk's precept. Eh? The bodhisattva vow extends into future life. There are two traditions of bodhisattva vow, one originating from Asanga and the other from Nagarjuna. A bodhisattva vow is found at the end of the Avatamsaka Sutta, spoken by Samantabhadra. This is Pusyan Bodhisattva. And it explains that the bodhisattva vow is taken with the following two verses from that sutta. Just as all previous Sugata is another name for the Buddha. The Buddhas generated the Bodhi mind of enlightenment and accomplished all the stages of Bodhisattva training, means the 10 perfection. So will I too, for the sake of all living beings, generate the Bodhi mind of enlightenment and accomplish all the stages of Bodhisattva training. The promise to keep Bodhisattva vow applied not only to this life but to each subsequent life until enlightenment. Thus, this vow continue on our mind stream into future life, because this vow was taken with understanding, with faith, with sincerity, and with determination at the time. That's why it will follow you life after life. In taking this vow, you will join with the hundreds of thousands of Buddhists in the West and millions in Asia who have done so. As is traditional, you might seek out a Buddhist center or temple and take the Bodhisattva vow in the presence of a teacher. Or if you cannot do so, you can take them at home. Create a sacred space and place. Create a sacred space and place there the images of Bodhisattvas or Buddhas who have gone before you. If you wish to invite a friend or friends to be your witness, you can. Sit quietly for a while and reflect on the beauty and value of a life dedicated to the benefits of all sentient beings. When you are ready, at any meaningful ritual, the lighting of candles and the taking of refuge, then recite your vow. Here is one traditional version, but there are many others. Then I will skip all this. You can modify the language of this vow so that they speak your deep dedication and devotion. Then you can repeat them every time you sit in meditation to direct and dedicate your practice. Then we go straight into the version I give you all. So this one is very useful. Taking of the Bodhisattva vow. So this is a very good refreshing reminder. As is traditional, you may seek a Bodhi center or temple or a shrine and take the Bodhisattva vow in the presence of a teacher. Or you cannot do so, you can take them at home in front of your sacred shrine. So this one is like just now, the introduction. Repeat. Then the second point is very important. One must make strong aspiration to take this Bodhisattva vow with determined faith and understanding, sincerely in front of a Buddha or a great Maha Bodhisattva who had gone forth before you. Then making of special aspiration to walk the Bodhisattva way. So this is how we start. By the power of whatever blessings and wholesomeness that this nature of mine had cultivated from the distant past till now, may it arise the causes and conditions for this nature of mind to have the following right Dhamma understanding life after life, whenever it chooses to come or have to come in the form of a form and mind. Right view regards to the law of karma, karma niyama. Right view regards to the law of dependent origination, or citta niyama. Right view with regards to the Four Noble Truths, Dhamma niyama. Then the second understanding is to understand the two aspects of the five aggregate of form and mind clearly via the direct seeing, to realize that they are all conditioned arising entity, causal phenomena, hence impermanent, leading to suffering, not me, non-self, and empty. That is, this so-called living being, five aggregate of form and mind, is just a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for us to come to this existential world, to develop the cultivation, and to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. So use it with wisdom to arise the right thought, right speech, and right action, so as to be a blessing to all, and not to be deluded by it. To constantly recite with understanding the following Dhamma profoundly. Rupang anicchang, rupang anatta, vedana anicchang, vedana anatta, sanya anicchang, sanya anatta, sankhara anicchang, sankhara anatta, vijnanang anicchang, vijnanang anatta, sabbe sankhara anicchang, sabbe sankhara dukkhang, sabbe dhamma anatta. Then the third understanding is, having developed the above right view, this nature of mind vow to always keep the following three sets of pure precepts, following the advice of all Sammasambuddha. This nature of mind vow to avoid all evil, and to understand clearly what constitutes evil, the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. This nature of mind vow to cultivate all virtue and blessing, leading to the perfection of them all. then this nature of mind vow to cultivate wisdom to help liberate and take across all sentient beings until Sammasambuddhahood is realized. Then number four is the actual taking of the Bodhisattva vow. Taking of the four basic vow. Just as all previous Sugata or Buddhas, the Buddhas generated the Bodhi mind of enlightenment and accomplished all the stages of Bodhisattva training. So too will this nature of mind, for the sake of all living beings, generate the Bodhi mind of enlightenment and accomplish all of the stages of Bodhisattva training, so that the seed of Bodhi can be strongly planted within our nature. This nature of mind further vow with utmost sincerity, faith, and perseverance to walk to perfection this Bodhisattva way. We are taking the follow initial basic vow of a Bodhisattva. Oh, the printer got problem, I think. The last few words missing. This nature of mind vow to liberate the countless living beings from samsara and take them all across to the other shore. This nature of mind vows to endure and severe all vexation and suffering. This nature of mind vows to cultivate and penetrate all Dhamma to realize the perfection of all wisdom. This nature of mind vows to perfect the 10 paramitas of perfection to realize the unsurpassed Sammasambuddhahood. Then we can have additional vows to break all karmic obstruction to bring about the way. So this one is for most people will be very useful. If by any action, speech or thought, whether knowingly or unknowingly, via ignorant delusion or heedlessness, this nature of mind had offended or done anything wrong out to the Triple Gem, Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, this nature of mind would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness. Then, whomsoever, from the distant past until now, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that this nature of mind has caused any karmic negativity, misery, suffering, or misled, this nature of mind would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness from them all. May my sincere request for forgiveness be accepted by all, so that all this karmic obstruction can be amicably dissolved and watered down or lessened, thereby enabling this nature of mind to continue with its cultivation to realize the true Dhamma with ease. Then number three, this nature of mind also vow to repent, and from now onward vow never to repeat any of this karmic negativity born of greed, hatred, and delusion, by following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, to good and purify the mind. We are striving on with heedfulness to keep the five precepts and cultivate the Buddha Dhamma diligently, so that it will never violate the law of karma again whenever it arises. Then the last vow is, by the power of whatever wholesomeness or merit that this nature of mind had cultivated since the distant past until now, may it arise the causes and conditions for this nature of mind to have the ability to overcome all other karmic obstruction or obstacle amicably, so that this nature of mind will be able to gain back its life, life after life, to walk the path of Dhamma, to fulfill and realize all its Bodhisattva vows. Then additional miscellaneous vow to enhance the cultivation. This nature of mind vows to be successful in fulfilling all my above vows soon as possible, to cultivate strong affinity with all Buddhas and Bodhisattva, and to request their nature's blessing, protection, and guidance always. Then to strengthen my five spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, until they become powers or balas, life after life, so that all the above vow can be successfully fulfilled with ease. Then to cultivate extensively all virtue, blessings, and merits to help support my cultivation, so that they will shine forth to aid this nature of mind when needed in times of trials, difficulties, and tribulation while walking the Bodhisattva way. Then there is a note. The 10 perfections leading to Buddhahood are: first one is dana. You have to cultivate the perfection of dana, which is generosity. Then sila, which is moral virtue. Then renunciation, nikama. Then wisdom, perfection of wisdom is panya. Then spiritual zeal or virya. Then kanti is patience. Truthfulness is satya. Then determination or resolution is adhittana. Then loving kindness, metta. And equanimity is upekkha. So this one, you all have to bear in mind. Constantly remind yourself so that you will not deviate. So that this one can become very strong within your nature after this life. Because with this condition and this understanding, if you do it with determination, life after life, when you come, you will have this understanding. And it will be beautiful. And you will be able to continue with that cultivation beautifully. And you will progress very fast. Because this nature of mind had done it before. That's why now it looks back. Everything was just the way it is meant to be. Otherwise it cannot be this way. And the way it arises, it's like everything has been somehow pre-planned through the understanding from the past. The condition, everything. That's why this form of mind, when it come, I used to tell you all, even this very life, I saw the same thing. I don't have to do anything technically. The causes and conditions are all already there. It just arises. And this nature just echo and flow, and it understands because of the perfection from the past, the karmic inheritance, the beautiful karmic nature and the beautiful spiritual nature and those understanding. Then it just unfolds itself. It's like this nature don't do anything. Everything just falls into place. And because this nature has the understanding from the past, that's why it know what this thing is, and it know how to accord and flow, and it know how to move accordingly. That's why it got no problem, no conflict, nothing. And everything is so beautiful. People who don't understand, they may not know. But for those who know, it's like, it's really amazing. Things cannot never be this way, because it's like everything is so perfect. Even like I used to say, you plan it, allow you to plan it. You also cannot plan it this way to be so perfect. Nature's way is the best way, because it doesn't violate anything. That's why you have to make aspiration based on causes and conditions. If it's for the good of the many, let it arise. Then you will know how to move. Okay, we still got 15 minutes. Okay, I have managed to cover the Bodhisattva vow, like I promised you before we start. So now you have 15 minutes to ask questions if you want to. Do you have any question, or is there anything that you need further clarification, or is there anything that you want to share? You can. While I have a drink. You just have to put up your hand. Then they will pass you the mic. No question. Then what you all want me to do? Make full use of the condition. You see, a lot of you, I need to sit on the chair. A lot of you take for granted, because you see me almost every week or for some a few times a week. But like I used to hint to you all, anything you want to know, you might as well ask before this form of mind is no more. Otherwise, later on, only you say, "Ayo, brother, dear, no more. How to ask?" While you're still around, make full use of what you have. Whatever you want to know, you can ask. Pass to Susan. Push it up all the way.
Ritio, I'm coming back to the question on the tiger.
Ah, yes. Okay, right. Very good.
The tiger didn't have intention to feed on the bodhisattva. But can it be said that because it is an animal, an animal is in the lower plane of existence, that there's ignorance in the part of the tiger to have eaten the bodhisattva. It was just for survival. But it was also due to ignorance that he ate.
Not really. You continue first. I will explain. You continue first. You continue with your understanding and your line of reasoning.
So, for that reason, the tiger ate the bodhisattva out of the bodhisattva's own sacrifice.
The tiger may not know that.
He may not know. But is it?
Are you trying to say that ignorance is not bliss?
No, I'm not saying that. Okay. Because of the fact that it's the tiger being an animal and in the lower, one of the four woeful states existence, that is probably why the tiger ate it. Ate the bodhisattva.
So that was your question,
Yes.
That could be one of the possibility. Okay, good. At least you present another viewpoint. But the way I understand it is different. You must understand, you see, like I explained earlier on, there are causes and conditions behind. And when the bodhisattva did it, he actually did with understanding and he saw the past causes and conditions. Then there is condition for such a thing to happen. Then like I said, the tiger was about to die actually, because there is winter, there is nothing for him to prey, and he is wounded and he cannot go out and hunt. Then the bodhisattva was up there and he knew if he were to sacrifice, jump down, he would hurt himself. Whether he died or not, we don't know. But the moral of the story is that sacrifice comes from the deep understanding that this form of mind is not him, it's just element, nothing. Then like I said, the tiger, especially even human being, is the same. If let's say you are going through starvation, you have been without food for very long and at the verge of dying, then you have your children also dying. All of a sudden somebody threw to you some food. What will you do? You will just, with a lot of joy, just eat it. Then after that, you will have a lot of gratitude towards whoever who has given you those food. Understand not? So, at that time when the tiger eats, he doesn't have to go through whether as an animal they are deluded or as an animal they are born with the very strong evil root of delusion, and out of delusion they kill. As long as you kill, ignorance is not bliss. Killing is still killing, but there is no intention to kill at all. It's just food. Understand? Then when they ate, they actually, that tiger, you see, all these beings, they know one, when somebody sacrifices to you, yeah, then when you have the condition to eat and you see all this, you will understand one. The gratitude, everything will be there one. Then you will like Mayana used to say, kan ana, gratitude, a lot of gratitude towards whoever who has bring forth such food. So that is the more important aspect of understanding within cultivation. What I want you all to develop is, you see, the thought is very powerful. The thought is very good at creating wrong view or deceive you into coming with all those idea and reasoning. I use the word idea and reasoning because these are not the truth, not the reality. So when you reflect and contemplate, that's why without wisdom, the thought will take over. Then you will have a lot of idea, reasoning, and justification. But when wisdom is there, because there is no mark, then it understands clearly. It's not what you think. It's not what the thought think. But the thought that has ego, or atta, or selfishness, will think that way, will come out with all this. Okay, now let PG ask.
Rachel, can I ask something?
Can, yeah.
Okay, what about organ donors?
Yeah.
I think a lot of us are aware that many people in need of organs go to China. They actually paid for it.
Yeah.
So are we to think that there will be karmic link? Or
okay.
I mean, especially you paid for it, and God knows where it comes from. Can you please comment on this? Thank you.
You see, this is a question which most living being, putujana, who, what I want to say is, who are like, they call themselves cultivator, they call themselves Buddhist, and then they have this thought. If they are totally non-believer, they completely don't have this thought. To them is, as long as I don't steal, I don't rob, I don't force people, it's like business, understand? Willing buyer, willing seller. Yeah. But the law says it's illegal, understand? You understand? Buying organ is illegal. It's like buying baby. Don't think that people get, like you want to adopt a child. People bring a child, then say, okay, you want or not? 5,000 I sell to you. You go and buy. I tell you, you don't go and think it's willing buyer, willing seller, no. But the law says it's illegal. Unless you have proper adoption document, recognized by the law. Otherwise, it's still illegal. Because sometimes this type of what they call, they actually force people to actually sell off their baby. Sometimes they like loan shark or what. You don't have money to pay, they take their kid. Understand not? Or they will do something. Then sometimes they may go and like steal people's baby from the hospital or what. Because it's lucrative. It's big money. Understand not? But it is not a question about asking me for the answer. You have to use your Dhamma understanding to go deep into it, so that you understand. You get my point or not? Otherwise, you keep on asking, understand or not? Not to say you cannot ask. If you don't ask, I won't explain. You will not understand. But now, my understanding is important because it will allow you to develop your own understanding. If what I tell you and you just take it, then you don't reflect and contemplate and develop your own understanding, it does not help you, and it makes you dependent on your teacher. That is what Krishnamurti mean by authority. Understand not? Everything you want to check with your teacher, check with the book, or check with monks and people whom you think is an authority who can tell you what to do. That is the wrong way of learning. To learn, you ask yourself, what have I studied? what have I developed through my understanding of the Buddha Dhamma that the Buddha had taught me. So you go direct into the teaching, then you investigate for yourself. If condition is like that, is there any karmic? What constitute karmic? Yeah, you go first step. What constitute karmic? Mental intention, understand or not? Mental intention to cheat, to deceive, to cause what they call illegal activity to arise. Yeah. So illegal got two. One is nature's law. The other one is society's law, understand not? Society's law normally is not so serious, understand not? Because it's not the nature's law. Society's law depend on who come out with those law, understand not? Yeah. But more important is, let's say you have kidney problem, or your loved one has kidney problem. Then you wait, you can't find a donor. Yeah. So what do you do? You were told China, they can get you a donor. So what do you do? A lot of people went and tried. Even my neighbor went over and I think they got it. But they got it from a proper hospital, understand? Where the hospital told them, if you really want to have a donor, what type of donor they also don't know. It could be from the prisoner before they actually qiangbi, you know why qiangbi, before they assassinate him, they already pledged the organ. So from that organ, but it has to come with some sum of money. Understand not? So as far as they are concerned, they just go to the proper hospital and they just told what is the price. Then if they can afford, then they will agree. Then they will go ahead and do it. So that one got no coming, nothing. Forget about all those complications, understand not? Because it is the hospital that you deal with. It's just like you go and order fish, understand not? Your father-in-law want to eat fresh one, fresh water one, means a live one, understand? You cannot say, hey, you tell your father-in-law, you say, hey, I Buddhist, no. Cannot kill, no. Cannot order yao soyo, no. I tell you, your father-in-law is going to give you a hell. Who the hell are you? Gonna tell your father-in-law what to do. If he wants, let him decide, understand? With his life. But it's not so serious, you know why? Because the restaurant people, this is their livelihood. They are willing to kill and cook and steam and sell it to you. So as far as your father-in-law, even if he intentionally order, because he don't have the intention to kill, he just want to have fresh meat, understand not? But you cannot go and relate and say, cost to kill, because that fish is already there. You don't order, other people will order, understand not? So the key thing is, you go back to basic mental intention. There could be some form of link, understand not? But it is not serious in the sense that there is no real mental intention to kill that fish. But the killing is by the person who sell, who is willing to do that livelihood. It's just like pest control, understand not? If your house got pest, you get the pest control to come. They are willing to do it for a price. Then they will clear it out for you. But if you want to have some form of what they call goodness or kindness, you can tell the pest control, I hope you don't have to use poison, understand? But it's good for the environment. You can use whatever mean, but please don't use poison if you can. And you can add in that condition if you want to. But the key thing is, what I'm trying to tell you is, the person who choose that livelihood takes the bulk of it, understand? Understand not? So you don't go and allow your thought to create that fear, the anxiety in you. Understand not? And say that, hey, I'm the cause. If I don't hire him, he would have not killed all this, and there is no killing in our thing. You see, the word is if. Understand not? That if is not a reality. The reality is, he chose the livelihood. And in our society, we can actually call them to do that service. And they will clear it up for you. They will clean it up for you. But whatever they do is because that is their livelihood. So the bulk of it goes there. So in this kidney thing, it's the same. If you don't have the intention to deceive and cheat, like you give instruction to somebody, hey, you go and get me a kidney, I don't care how you get it. And then that is coming, understand? Very severe, understand? But if you don't instruct, you just go, like you go to the market, yeah, and you buy. Last time my mother used to buy the live chicken that slaughtered himself, herself, understand? But in the early days, she bring them out from the chick, small chick. Then she will say, because I feed you and raised you for so long, eh? Now it's time for you to sacrifice back. So he said, I hope you understand that they do it. So at least there is mercy. But when you go to the market, my mother, I also talked to her. I said, it's best you don't buy the live one and come back and kill. But this one you never raise, no. You cannot talk all those things to her. I heard her saying all this when young. Then my mother understands. So he buy the slaughtered one. So slaughtered one means people's livelihood. They already kill for you, understand not? Then you can buy. And you can actually cook and offer. It's not kill for offering, understand not? It's already kill, understand not, when you buy. So that's like the three type of pure meat. San jing ro. Bu wen sa. Bu wei wo sa. Din si pu jian sa, pu wen sa, pu wei wo sa. So this become the three pure meat. Means you don't see the killing or hear the killing, and it's not killed for you, understand not? Then it become allowable meat to make offering. But if you know that it's killed for you, the monk actually cannot accept. Understand not? Or if the monk heard the killing, he also cannot take the meat. So the three types of pure meat is set by the Buddha during his time. That's why he refused to accept Devadatta's proposal for vegetarian to be imposed on the Sangha. Because to the Buddha, he knew this tradition is meant to create synergy between the lay people, community, and the Sangha. And the monk that are worthy of offering, they cannot be choosy because you don't want to burden the lay people. Then during that time in India, the condition is not like what we have nowadays. Sometimes in the remote area, it can be very difficult to insist on vegetarian. You can't find them. And the monk will die, I tell you. They will starve. And they will die. So because of that, the Buddha refused. And he said, as long as it's the three type of condition behind, the pure meat, they call it the pure meat, allowable meat. You don't see the killing, you don't hear the killing, and it's not killed for you. Then these are allowable meat. Okay? So the kidney one is the same. So don't allow the thought to create all this. Then it make you what? It make you full of guilty conscience, doubt. These are all wrong thought. Thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety. Doubt and all those things. Why do you want to think of all this? If there is something that you need to do, you will understand. Because it's not a question of whether how religious you are, understand not? Or how pious you are. That doesn't make you religious, understand not? Or spiritual, in that sense. Because when you insist through your thought, then you are being rigid without understanding. As long as your mental intention is pure, as long as you are not involved in all those things, if there is condition for you to have access, just like the kidney thing, the hospital provide for it, they already list out the price. If you want to have an organ donate, you have to pay this price. Then people is willing to come out with the organ. How they get it is nothing to do with you, understand? But you didn't instruct them to get it, understand? You only agree to pay for the service. Then sometimes you have to wait. It doesn't mean you want, you have, understand? Then it depends on your karma. Some have to wait for quite long. Some, I was told, they may even want you to pay higher price if you want to have a urgent one. They call it urgent. Urgent means, I don't know whether jump queue or not, I don't know. But sometimes, a lot of these things is more towards the cultivation, I look at it. Because if you yourself have not taken care of your cultivation, all this is just like people eating vegetarian. You think you eat vegetarian, you are more compassionate. It's not like that, understand not? If the evil root you also cannot see so strong in you, and yet you want to go to that level of what they call spirituality, to me is no meaning. If you can't even take care of your own evil roots within your own form and mind, and you try to be so spiritual, in the sense that you insist, I must be vegetarian and all those things. But if you understand why you go vegetarian, it's very good. If you understand. Because the main thing is understanding. If you don't understand and believe what people tell you, you are more compassionate if you take vegetarian. Otherwise, you are not being compassionate. Then forget about it. Understand? Because that is delusion. Because you believe. And you act out of fear. It's not what you eat that make you pure. Always remember that. Understand? You look at all the cow, the goat, the horses, they eat vegetarian. But human beings eat beef, understand? But that beef comes from the grass. So, if those who eat vegetarian is more what they call compassionate or more spiritual and more religious, then all these herbivorous animals, they will be very spiritual, understand? And very compassionate. But it's not that the way, as you can see. So a lot of this come from understanding. As I go deep into the cultivation, then you will understand and you will know how to act. The wisdom will allow you to have the understanding to act. So always remember, acting according to memory is not acting at all. You have to act according to wisdom, understanding. Wisdom is an understanding. It's not a theory. It's not a knowledge. It's not a rigid thing. Understanding means you understand. As long as you don't have negativity, the absence of evil is good. And whatever you do has got no negativity. And then there is pure action. There is true action. Means you don't recall through memory all of your whatever conditioning, wrong view and all those things, scars of memory, insecurity, selfishness and all those things. So if you don't have those things to condition your action, then you have to develop understanding through the teaching. That's why you have to reflect, contemplate, first turning, second turning, until very clear. Then this understanding become a part of your nature. Then you are incapable of negativity. Then you don't have to check with anybody. You then decide. Then you will act. then the moment, like Guang Qing Lao Sang say, yeah, after you have done it, finish. And so, 做完了,没事了. Don't go and worry about it and think, ayo, I shouldn't have done it. Oh, Brother Teo say this is wrong. You finish already. Understand? So what? Understand? Before you know the Dhamma, you also kill mosquito. Correct? Not? You also kill cockroach. Does it mean that you cannot be spiritual anymore? No. Before you understand, this is the karmic. But this karmic, you can take it, understand? Not? Your nature can take it because it's very small. Because out of ignorance, when the condition is not there. But the moment you understand, you don't do it, then it's different. Then this is cultivation. When you know already you do, it may be the same mosquito, no? But there can be a very severe karmic behind, understand? No? Knowingly, yet you do. It's very severe, I tell you. Even though it's a mosquito, understand? No? But when you don't know, you do, then that karmic is just a mosquito. Maybe in future, when you're born as a mosquito, then people will piak you back. Then you experience the shock. So that's it, finish. But I tell you, if you are a cultivator, knowingly you go and violate this, it can be really, really serious. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Never mind. Still can. Yeah. Push it out all the way.
Hello. Brother, yeah. 我想问一下, coming back to contemplation.
Yeah.
就是有一天我在走着走着，就是做 walking meditation,
yes,
so called, 不知道.
Yeah. When you take a walk.
Slowly, so 我就在那边 contemplate.
Then you can contemplate one.
Then
you no need to be like in the very rigid walking meditation like that. No, just relax and walk.
我就走着走着，我就 有一个 就是一个问题，就是
yeah.
为什么我还是在 suffer 呢？
啊。
然后他就有一个 answer point， 就讲，因为你还抓得很紧啊， 你都不愿意放下， 然后你不就一直在 suffer 吗？ 是不是这样子就是叫 contemplation 啊？
You see, contemplation, very good, you off the thing, I explain. Contemplation got many level. One of the level is what she has gone through. When you throw out that inquiry, understand? Because through her cultivation, she know there's still a lot of things that can bring about suffering. Understand? Then, during this contemplation means you reflect and inquire into that truth that you want to know, like what she did. Yeah? Why am I still having so much suffering? Understand? Then, all of a sudden, from that nature, the answer came. Because you are still holding. That's why you suffer. So these are the Dhamma that come from the creative understanding that you have cultivated through your cultivation. So this understanding, when it comes, it can trigger off awakening. Like she answered in Mandarin. You suffer because you are still holding. 你还坐住。 And you hold on so tightly, understand not? So you understand the Buddha's teaching is very clear. Craving is the cause of suffering. And what is craving? All of your clinging, grasping, desire, lust, whatever that you hold on to dearly, this is attachment, this is clinging, this is grasping, this is the cause of suffering. These are all craving. So when you understand, then you can use it to develop that cultivation so that in future, when you move on in your daily life, you can see all this attachment, this craving, this clinging, this grasping, this holding, and all this will become clear to you. Then through the understanding, you straighten your view. Then you cannot do all those things already because it will lead to suffering. It's just like Krishnamurti say, if you saw it's a cobra, you dare to go near or not? You will never go near because you know it kill, understand not? Then Ajahn Chah say, if it's a red hot iron ball, as long as you hold, it will burn you and torment you, isn't it? You still dare to touch it or not? You will never touch it. Cultivation is the same. The moment you understand, it loses its power over you. You can never be deceived anymore. You can never hold and clip. You know it's not real. You know this form and mind is not you. That's why this cultivation is very different from the thought base. The thought base one, they go and think. The thing one, when you think, the nature cannot give you the answer. Understand? When you think, you become logical. Then you through concept, idea, theory, or you try to recall through memory what people say, what the book say, or what the Buddha say, or what Brother Theo say. Then from there, you apply people's knowledge and try to act. Try to act to become what people say. That is not the real understanding. Acting according to memory through recollection and recalling all this is not action at all. There's an acting according to memory is not action at all. It's not acting, sorry. Acting according to memory is not acting at all. So you have to act according to wisdom, according to understanding. Okay? We have to end, sorry. It's already 12 minutes exceeding the time. Okay, we do the sharing of marriage. Then after that, the transfer of marriage. Then you all can make your aspiration. Sharing of marriage with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana itta watta chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anamodantu sabba sampati siddhiya hidang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo hidang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo hidang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Keep me respect mindfully the Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones.
I'd like to make announcements. My house is going to conduct a house dana at end of this month, 25th Sunday. Okay, so we'd like to sincerely invite you all to come over. 11 o'clock. Yes.
So make a note, 25th of this month, Chin House Dana. Everybody is invited. Okay.